I do that. But I do. So tonight we'll start a series of messages, and we'll end the year on Wednesday night preaching on the subject of the person of Joseph. And I've enjoyed preaching through many of the Bible characters, and this is probably top 10 most preached on Bible characters in the Scripture, and I've always enjoyed listening and reading of Joseph. Genesis chapter 37. I had the opportunity here, I don't know, a few months ago to hear a series of messages preached on Joseph. I just never heard it quite preached the way this pastor preached it. And I said, you know, it was fantastic. And so I'm going to present it the way he presented it. And so this will be four or five messages. We're just going to take particular characteristics or convictions that we see in the life of Joseph. And we always, I usually emphasize in Joseph, of course, the purity aspect where he fled the house when Potiphar's wife was tempting him. Or the Christ honoring or the honoring of God aspect when he says, you know, it's not me that interprets the dream, it's God. And he gives honor to God. And we'll talk both about, those will be whole messages as we go forward, talking about the purity of Joseph, just how Joseph honored God. But there'll be two or three others, maybe that you're not quite as familiar with, as we think about the convictions of Joseph. The convictions of Joseph. And this first lesson, series lessons title is, since normally text those to Brother Adam, is the conviction about God's Word. Conviction concerning or about God's Word. I'm going to read from John chapter 16 real quick as we think about Jesus and what He said. John chapter 16 and verse 33, Jesus says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that you might that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." In the life of Joseph, he just typifies a life of just attack after attack and problem after problem and tribulation after tribulation, and yet God continued to carry him through, and he continued to go through those. And so Jesus said himself, you know, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And I'm glad I know that I have victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Genesis chapter 37 and verse 1. "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan." And these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. If I was going to underline, I would underline that last part. And Joseph brought unto his father the evil report. As you look through the rest of Joseph's life, in no way do we get the idea that he brought this evil report because he was just being a tattletale. That's not at all what I believe is going on here at all. I believe Joseph was a godly young man. You see that through the rest of his life. And you find that his brothers were not godly men. And so he brings the evil report concerning his brothers to his father. And now Israel loved Joseph, verse 3, more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and you remember the dreams, one with the sheaves and one with the stars. Let's look down at the one, the sun, moon, and stars. It says, "And he dreamed yet another dream," verse 9, "and told his brethren and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the same." Joseph found that he began went to search for his brethren, and his dad sent him to search for his brethren. Let's look down through there in verse 18. "And when they saw him," talking about Joseph, "afar off, even before he came near unto them, They conspired against Joseph, or conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh." Just imagine as they said that a little bit sarcastically. "Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore," verse 20, "and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." Notice it was still in their mind, by the way. I just thought that was pretty neat. "And Reuben heard it and delivered him out of their hands and said, Let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands and deliver him to his father again." Verse 23. "And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brother, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and lifted up their eyes, and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead, and their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt." Verse 26, "And Judah said unto his brethren, What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh, and his brethren were content." And then there passed by the Midianite merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites. And it talks about Reuben returning. Let's go on down to verse 31. "And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, It is my son's coat, and evil beasts have devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, For I will go down to the grave unto my son's mourning. And his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and a captain of the guard." Let's pray. Lord, bless tonight. Bless the reading of your word. Bless us as we look at this godly man, this godly illustration for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I think about Joseph, one of the things that the preacher that I heard, he quoted this particular, and I love this quote, says, "A belief is something you hold. A conviction is something that holds you." Think about this for a moment. A belief is something you hold. A conviction is something that holds you. We think about a zip line or something to this effect. My dad, over the pond at the farm, behind the farmhouse, put a zip line in. He built a platform on one side of the pond, and to go across the pond, you can now, you know, ride across the zip line, let go, and fall into the pond. It's a lot of fun. And so this last summer, I went up the little deal. I guess the platform's probably 12 foot high, something like that, and got up there and got ready to go down. He bought a zip line bar thingy, and I put on it. I wondered to myself, can I still hold my weight up? I don't know. I hadn't done a chin up in a long time. And I said to myself, self, this could be really bad, because you have to hold on at least for about a second, because there's still land under you until you get to the pond. So if you fall there, in fact, one of the grandkids did, and it was a bad deal. So they were more careful now, but we're still doing it. So anyway, got on it, took off, and sure enough, I could hold my weight up, got out in the middle of the pond, let go. I did it three times, decided that was enough. Anyway, so I believed, as I grabbed a hold of that bar, that it could hold me. I'm sorry, that I could hold it. I had no doubt that it could hold my weight, because it's a big old wire thing. But I had a lot of doubt in my belief in myself and that I could hold on to it. Dad, when we were up there for Christmas, said, by Christmas, he's gonna put a harness on the zip line that you get in and you step inside of it. You know, I'm talking about, and you just latch yourself inside of it and go across and go to the other side of the pond, where one of us adults will be waiting on the grandkid to catch them. And that's his plan. So by the time we get to Christmas, he's going to have the harness set up so you can ride the zip line and get inside the harness, right? Now, I have no problem knowing I can step inside the harness of a zip line and I'll be just fine, right? I know how it was built. There's no problem. It will hold me. It'll hold all the grandkids. But with a harness, it's holding me, right? With the handle, I'm holding it. Listen to this again. A belief is something you hold. A conviction is something that holds you. I don't know about you, but there are principles in the Word of God that are my convictions. There is not one doubt in my mind. Philippians 4:19 says, "And God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory." That's a conviction. I know there's not. I'm not holding on to God on that one. That's a conviction. He's going to take care of me. He's holding on to me. I'm riding in the harness, right? Think about this with Joseph for a second. Joseph is about to go through some terrible things. He's going to be sold into slavery. By the way, almost killed by his brethren. Can you just imagine him being down that pit and hearing his brothers discuss whether they're going to kill him or not? Just imagine that. And then they sell him off to the Midianites and sell him down to Egypt. And you never even get a hint, and it's never even inferred that Joseph blamed or did anything. In fact, you find that he went into Potiphar's house and he served faithfully. In fact, he served so faithfully that God blessed him so much that Potiphar put him in command and in charge of his house. So I don't think that when Joseph got to Potiphar's house, he sat around and sulked for 2 years. Right? I wonder why. I know when things come into my life and tribulations come into my life, not every time I don't just bounce up and say, "Woo! Something bad's come into my life. God's in control, and woo! I'm going to make it through this one," you know? No, then sometimes I have that attitude, but most of the time it's not. Most of the time it's to sit around and sulk for a few days, and then finally, you know, you just kind of keep on going. By the way, sometimes it's sit around and sulk for a few months. Yeah. And then finally you come out of it, right? Think about that with Joseph for a second. What brought Joseph through all these tribulations? His convictions did. His total dependence, his total reliance upon God's revelation to him. We're going to see that here in just a second. God's revelation to him. His total dependence, his total resting in what God had given to him. We think about this for a moment. Consider the godly convictions or the convictions of a godly man such as Joseph. Warren Wiersbe said this. He said, in Genesis 37 unfolds the destructive dynamics of a family that knew the true and living God. Let me repeat this. Warren Wiersbe quoting, saying, Genesis 37 unfolds the destructive dynamics of a family that knew the true and living God and yet sinned against Him and each other by what they said and did. The presence of Joseph in the home didn't create problems so much as it revealed them. There were problems in this home. And as a result of there being problems in the home, there was a lack of peace in the family. God, of course, wants us as Christians to have peace. He desires for us to rest, according to Hebrews, and to live in that rest. His family, Joseph's family, needed the rest that only comes from God. We see there was rest for Joseph in this account. We see Joseph resting in, again, what God had revealed to him. There was rest for Joseph's brothers, if they would receive God's word. And there was rest for Jacob, his father, if he would only receive God's word and will. The same source of rest available to Joseph is available to us today. But in order for that to happen, we must have some convictions concerning God's word. We've been preaching on the promises of God on Sunday morning. Each one of those promises ought to be convictions in our lives. That God promised it, and it's going to happen. God promised it, and He always keeps His word. We must rest in the promises. Rest in the promises of His care. Rest in the promise of His supply. Rest in the promise of His nearness. And all the things we preached on the last several weeks. We rest in those promises. And therefore create a conviction that holds us. That we know without a shadow of a doubt. As we enter the story, we find Jacob's family, Joseph's family, was at a pivotal point. Joseph's dad, Jacob, was getting older. His sons were getting older. And no doubt there was some question as to who would lead the family. And apparently, as we read the story, the account, we apparently see that Jacob had decided that Joseph would lead the family. Gave him a coat of many colors. Apparently, Joseph was the one who, of all the brethren, who had character. By the way, go read the stories about his brethren. About some of the things that they had done in the previous chapters. Where they had killed a whole city and done many other things. I mean, there's some terrible things some of these other brothers had done. This family, Joseph's family, needed to be in the place of blessing with God. They needed godly leadership in order to be in a place of blessing. So they're at a pivotal point. Who would lead the family next? By the way, we're at a pivotal point in America, aren't we? Yeah. I think about it a lot. I know it weighs heavy on some of you as well. Well, pray for leadership. Pray for godly leadership. I think about Joseph's other brothers. And apparently, as you read about them, they weren't godly. Joseph, a godly young man, age 17, rose to the top. And we see that God chose him as well. This is the point tonight. That God offered rest to the family of Jacob by revealing who would lead the family. By giving Joseph some dreams. Think about this for a moment. 17 years old and yet had the responsibility of watching over his older brothers. His father knew. His father knew. By the way, Isaac knew that Jacob was to be the leader. If you go back and you read, and I'm not going to get into tonight, but Isaac knew that Jacob was to be the leader, not Esau. And it caused a ton of problems. A ton of problems, as you know. Israel, Jacob, favored Joseph. By the way, favoritism causes a lot of problems in families. But we need to be careful as parents, don't we? Now, every time I come across a scripture, I tell you this, but you need to hear it again. Be careful as parents not to favor one child over the other. I'm thankful I was raised in a home where dad and mom were very careful about how they treated each child. And even especially on my dad's side, who we spent a lot of time with, Papa and Grandma, even though I was the favorite, there's no doubt, but they were very careful. I've told you this many times. When my Papa delved out money, which he did very, very rarely, but when he did, he made sure that each grandchild got the same amount. If he helped me, one time he helped me buy a truck. If he helped me buy a truck, then he gave the same amount to all the other grandkids. Made sure it was all even. My dad has been a little reluctant in doing this, and so I've challenged him many times that when he gives money to the other kids, especially now my brother, that he needs to make sure it's even. Well, it's only right. If you want to give my brother, then you got to give it to me too. So it used to be way uneven until I started complaining. About 7-8 years ago, I started complaining. And since then, boy, it's just really smoothed out. Okay. I could tell stories. I won't do it. We ain't got time. One story. So Brother Clark will remember this. And Brother Stan helped me with this. So we're building the house I'm in now. And once it's all framed up, we go to the upstairs. We're in the attic where the game room is at. And we look over the top of the living room. And I had a couple of men, including Brother Clark, say, "Why don't we turn this into a room?" And I'm like, "It takes money to do that. I've spent all mine." So my dad happened to be coming down. Anyway, he came down and took him upstairs. I don't know if Brother Clark, you were there or whatever, but I think it was pointed out to several by several of our guys to my dad that this really ought to be finished out. I'm thankful for the men who pointed it out to my dad because dad supplies the funds that get that done. Amen. I did pay him back. But that's why I'm talking about trying to get back even with my brother. So be careful about playing favorites. That was a long way around. We got around to it. And Jacob played favorites and he shouldn't have. But we do see that God put His stamp of approval on it. As time goes on, again, because of the favoritism, Jacob's brothers hated him. But we know God made His choice. And God chose Joseph as He had the dreams, the sheaves that bowed down to Joseph's sheave. We have the sun, moon, and stars that bowed down to Joseph. And Joseph related these dreams to his brothers and related these dreams to his dad. And the Bible says that his brothers envied him, but his dad took notice. This is God. God had chosen Joseph to be the next leader of the home. God offered rest to the family of Jacob, again, by revealing that Joseph would be the leader of the family. Can I tell you tonight, as we wrap this up tonight, that Joseph's family and Jacob's family should have trusted God's revelation. Listen to this. I love this. If Jacob embraced the dream and revelation, he would have believed Joseph was still alive. Listen to this again. If Jacob would have embraced God's revelation, he would have trusted that Joseph was still alive and not dead. Isn't that good? That's good, isn't it? If that's all you walk away from tonight, that's awesome. If Jacob were to really understood and took into account God's revelation, trusted in it, he would have never had to mourn. If his brothers had accepted revelation as from God, they would have been spared themselves years of heartache. How many times have we not put our faith and trusted in God's revelation to us? And in turn, we have been dealt out the consequences of that and had to go through the consequences of that. Their rejection was not a rejection of Joseph, but a rejection of God and God's revelation. They did not trust God's plan. They did not want God's plan. Why? Because it conflicted with theirs. Why should our younger brother lead us? Why should our younger brother, watch over us? How many times have we not trusted in God's plan because it simply conflicted with ours? They tried to get rid of Joseph and thus tried to get rid of God's will. I think about Romans chapter 1 where it says they hold the truth of God in unrighteousness. That the world holds the God's truth in unrighteousness. That the world is not rejecting us per se. They're rejecting God. Because they don't want to be subject to God's will. They don't want to be subject to God's way, and God's word. They want to lay that aside. They want to have nothing. They want to put it down in the pit and forget it. Sell it off somewhere. Out of sight, out of mind. Get it out somewhere. Why do you think they're taking, the word of God out of schools and out of the courtrooms and out of everything? They don't want it before them. It brings conviction. Although Joseph did not know how it was going to work out, he had the revelation of God to remember in the low points of his life. And I believe tonight that's what brought him through. I don't believe God gave Joseph a dream and he didn't understand it. What did he do later? He interpreted the dream, right? For Pharaoh? For the baker? He understood what that dream meant. Absolutely. Amen? And every time he went through a trouble, he had something to hold on to. He had something to hold on to, the revelation of God. Let me tell you, every time you go through something, every time you go through that tribulation, and Jesus said you're going to have tribulations, you're going to have trials. Every time you go through those, you have the Word of God to hold on to. By the way, not just us holding on to it, but conviction that it's holding on to us. The revelation of God brings rest to those who will rest in it. As we trust in God's Word, as we accept God's Word as true, as we apply God's Word, then we'll see God see us through every time. I think about those tonight who are in need of jobs. Ephesians says He'll supply all of our needs. Amen. not a belief, that's a conviction. You can rest in it. And though it's difficult many times for us to rest in the promises of God and go home and lay down at night and not think about it, we ought to be able to. Why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus. He'll be your stay. God has revealed His will to us today through His Word. He guides us along in our future by way of His Word. He provides what we need to do. God has revealed His salvation through the Word of God. And we can rest in the Word of God through rough times. And those who accept the Word of God and apply it will face opposition, there's no doubt. But will be used of God as well. And those who reject God's Word reject what they really need the most. I hope tonight that you're resting in the Word of God. I think when Joseph got to Potiphar's house, the reason why he didn't mope around and, you know, and do the pouty face for 3 months or 3 years, it's because he knew one day his brother and his mom and dad were going to bow to him. He knew one day he would lead his family. He knew that because God had revealed it to him. Let's rely upon God. Amen. Rest in His Word. Let's all stand. The conviction of a godly person is a conviction and a reliance upon the Word of God. A conviction and reliance in the Word of God that we know without a doubt. We rest in the fact and in the complete authority and knowing that God gave us this book and that He leads and guides us and we can rest and rely upon it. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You tonight for Your love for us. We thank You that we can rest in Your Word. Help us, Lord, not to just believe in Your Word, but to apply and have convictions concerning Your promises that we might rest in Your Holy Word. Bless this time. Bless the reading of Your Word. In Jesus' name.